Jesus had with his disciples. He instructed them. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And, you know, what an amazing thought, you know, that we as God's people, we are a witness to the world. We demonstrate His love. And we're going to preach about another aspect of that love tonight from Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, I'd like for us to read the first seven verses. First seven verses, and let me give you a chance to stand with me if you would. And we get down to verse 7, I want us to read that in unison. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We'll preach tonight, then we'll partake of the Lord's table and then finish with another hymn. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me.' For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 7 together, ready? "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Let's say that verse again, ready? "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." And let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would help us as we take a look again at the love that you have shown to us in Jesus Christ. Father, that we would grasp this love. Father, that we would understand that we have been received. And Father, that we would in turn receive one another. Father, I pray that this world, this community would know that we are disciples because of our love one for another. Father, I pray that you would bless our time together in your word. Father, I pray that you would help us to tear down any walls, any prejudices, any thoughts, any pride that would keep us from receiving one another. Father, I pray that you would bless this body with your love and your grace and your unity. Father, we ask that you would help strengthen us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, here in this passage, Paul writing to the Christians in Rome, he instructs them, "Receive ye one another." You know, this word, "receive," it's a really interesting word. It means to take in, to take to oneself. We find this word mentioned in Acts chapter 28. It gives the idea of being welcomed. If you're familiar with the book of Acts, Paul and company are shipwrecked, and they have, again, because of really a miracle, all the officers and merchantmen and prisoners that are on that ship, all 276 of them were saved. Not a single life was lost. And of course, the Lord had told Paul such, but they find themselves on an island. And the Bible says that the locals receive them. You know, there's a storm, this Mediterranean hurricane, if you will, and it's cold, it's wet. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 28, verse 2, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold." You know, the same word for receive was used in the previous chapter, as if you're familiar with Paul's time on that ship, as they had been in that storm for many, many days, and nobody really felt like eating. Maybe they were a little bit seasick. Maybe we know that many were afraid for their lives, but they had not taken food, and they didn't take food. The food was there. They just didn't take it to themselves. They didn't take it up or or take it in. They didn't receive it. Instead, refused it. You know, this idea of receiving one another means to bring one another into our circle. They're there, but we're to bring them into our circle. We're to bring them in, take them up, take them to ourselves. You know, the Bible uses this word to describe the way Priscilla and Aquila ministered to Apollos. Apollos had been a convert of John the Baptist and was seen that he was he knew the scriptures and was very gifted, but all he knew was the baptism of John the Baptist. He didn't know about Christ. And the Bible says that Priscilla and Aquila took him in. They took in Apollos and they discipled him. They received Apollos. And here in our text, the Bible tells us, wherefore receive ye one another. Receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Tonight, for a few moments, we're going to look at this verse and this topic of expressing love one to another in the context of receiving one another. We're going to look at the what, the how, and the why. Receive one another. How? Like Christ. Like Christ also received us. Why? To the glory of God. And so, three very, very simple statements tonight. You and I are commanded to receive one another. Now, Paul gives this instruction in the context of the doubtful things. He is again, Paul finds himself again addressing the issue of meats. There were different occasions where Paul had to bring up the subject of meats, and Paul always used that as an opportunity to teach some basic principles about how we as Christians are to live. But here in the church in Rome, it wasn't like the issue in Colossae and some of the other cities where it was the Jewish diet versus the Gentile diets, clean meats or kosher meats versus unclean meats. It wasn't even like the issue that faced the church in Corinth. If you're familiar with the topic of meats that Paul wrote on in his epistle to the church at Corinth, there the meat had been offered to idols, and the question was, was it defiled? Could a Christian in good conscience purchase that meat at a discount and eat that meat, or was he supporting the work of the pagan temples? Here in Rome, it was the vegetarians versus the meat eaters. And in the previous chapter, he mentions one that eats meats and another that eats herbs. And because of the varying convictions concerning the eating of meats, they had received labels. You know, some were strong in faith, some were weak in faith. And when it comes to eating meats, this wasn't an animal rights issue. It wasn't a health issue. It wasn't because people were talking about the animals being free ranged or humanely treated. We have to speculate a little bit as to the scope of this potential problem. But we know that in the church there were Jews and Gentiles that were brought into one body, the body of Christ, and the varying issue of eating meats and clean meats, not clean meats, meats offered to idols, and perhaps, again, I speculate a little bit here, perhaps some had sworn off eating meat at all, and they chose not to have anything to do with the eating of meats, and they ate herbs, they ate vegetables, and perhaps the eating of only vegetables had roots in the local culture, but Paul is making clear that this is an issue that is not to be brought into the church to cause division within the body of Christ. This meets strong in faith, weak in faith, and it's not to hinder love that is to be shown one to another. Hinder the love received and the love that is being shown. Perhaps a modern illustration of this would be television. Could television be a problem? Oh, absolutely. In a couple of areas. First of all, in content, in what we watch, and then in how much we watch. You know, there's so little on TV that passes the Philippians 4:8 test. You know, whatsoever things are good and true and if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, you know, and because of the inherent dangers of having a television and the exposure to evil, some have opted not to even have a television in their home. And now, here's the problem. Not having a TV doesn't make you any more spiritual. Now, it does reduce your opportunity to sin, but it doesn't make you more spiritual. But not having a TV can provide a false sense of spirituality. It could make one proud. And for those who have a TV, they would scorn the weaker brother who obviously can't handle it and don't know how to walk away when something inappropriate or ungodly would come on, and they have to get rid of it altogether. And then those who don't have a TV, they consider a brother with a TV as not spiritual. I mean, after all, it's just wicked. They watch those shows and the commercials themselves, if nothing else, just feeding their flesh. And you have Christians that are despising each other, Christians that are looking down upon one another. You know, to the church in Corinth, Paul said this. He said that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. You know, a schism would be like this. A tear. And Jesus used that word when he spoke about a garment that had a tear. And that's a schism. The tearing of flesh, a laceration, a schism. And certainly we see how dangerous that would be to a body. You see, the world with these different issues that come up, the world just isolates themselves. That's none of, you know, what their opinion or what they think of. It's none of your concern, or you just ignore them, or just stop caring about that, or stop caring about them. And I want to remind us that as Christians, we're not just to tolerate one another. And we don't just tolerate one another is not going to be a sermon on our family rules series. You know, you say, well, at least if they can at least tolerate one another, they're not biting and devouring one another that Paul said. But listen, the Bible tells us that you and I are to receive one another. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We're not to just coexist. We are to take in a brother. We're to take in a sister. We are to show them God's love. We are to receive them. So we see the command, receive ye one another. But the Bible also tells us the how. Receive, verse 7, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us. Would you say those five words with me, please? As Christ also received us. And again, just as we're instructed about love, Christ is our pattern. Christ, listen, I want to ask you tonight, do you believe that Christ received you? You know, we talk about salvation in terms of receiving Christ. And people say, oh yeah, I was 15 years old when I accepted Christ. Well, you know, there may be some truth to that. The Bible says, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. But I love this because the Bible tells us that what happens at salvation is Christ received us. You could speak of your salvation as the day that Jesus took me into His heart because Christ received me. See, why wouldn't we receive? You know, we don't receive because, well, because of pride. because of we feel superior because we're more spiritual than they are. Maybe because we don't have the same convictions. And certainly that's what Paul is addressing here. Different convictions about the dietary convictions and eating of meat. And they haven't gotten things figured out like we have. And while we would condemn the caste system of the Hindus, you got these different levels in society and everything breaks down, and yet in our minds we have this caste system, and we've got these different levels. Listen, I want to remind us, there's only one who has ever had his act completely together. There's only one that is perfect. You know what the Bible says about him? He received sinners. He received sinners. Well, I want to just point out a few ways that Christ receives us. How does Jesus receive us? Well, first of all, he receives us gladly. He receives us gladly. You know, that criticism that they leveled against Christ, that he received sinners. You know, Jesus answered their criticism with a few parables. You might be familiar with it. A parable about a lost sheep and a lost coin and a lost son. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I want to spend just a few moments here. Luke chapter 15, verse 1, I'll begin reading. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know, and he goes on to speak about a lost coin and a woman who finds that coin. Again, we're not talking about a nickel or a penny. Those are pretty much worthless in today's economy. This is a coin of great significance, of great value. And she searches the house, and when she finds it, there is great rejoicing. And then, of course, the parable of the lost son, and how the father, with great rejoicing, receives his son back from the far country. And you know what emotion permeates these stories? Joy and rejoicing. And just in case someone would be so hard-hearted as to draw a different meaning from these parables, Jesus makes it very clear as he repeats again and again, I say unto you, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. You see, how does Jesus receive us? He receives us gladly. And Jesus, of course, makes a point in the parable of the lost son to tell of a brother who did not receive his lost brother with joy and with rejoicing. And I want to ask you tonight, were you once that lost coin? Were you once that lost sheep? Were you once that lost boy? How did Jesus receive you? See, part of understanding grace is understanding the joy that you brought the Lord Jesus Christ when you came to Him. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, I've been meditating on this verse this week, and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. You see, the joy that was set before him, yes, he had to endure the rejection. He had to endure the suffering. But there was a joy ahead of him, and that joy was a people who would love him. That joy was you. That joy was me. That joy was a people that would love each other, and that joy was set before him. And you coming to Christ, and Christ receiving you and receiving me, brought him great joy. He receives us gladly. If you don't understand the fact that the Son of God joyfully receives you, you don't understand grace. If you don't understand the joy that it brings, the Son of God, when others believe in him, you know, as Christians, it's so easy for us to see others whose lives are laden with sin, and we scorn them. And yet, if we could just grasp the fact that if we could give them the gospel and Christ would call them to repentance, there would be joy in heaven, and the Son of God would joyfully and gladly receive them. You see, this joy. You know, did he receive you begrudgingly? You know, did he receive you? You know, sometimes in life you feel like that kid on the playground who's the last pick. Nobody really wants him. You know, and somebody chooses him just because they had to choose him. Did Jesus pick you just barely tolerate you? You know, I want to remind us as we partake of the Lord's table in just a few minutes, you and I are nothing more than a collection of lost coins. This church is just a house for runaway teens that have come home. We were lost, and now we have been found, and He has received us, and He's received us gladly, and He tells us to receive one another as Christ has received us. How did He receive us? Well, He also receives us knowingly. You know, I remember before Kathy and I got married, you know, we spent a lot of time, every minute that we could spend together dating beforehand. But, you know, we were told, and wisely so, that you really don't know someone until you live with them. Just hearing that, you know, I wonder what she's really like. You know, in marriage, you make the covenant and you really don't know what you're getting yourself into. But I want to remind you, that's not what happened when Christ received you. It's not that He received you not knowing what He was getting into. See, Jesus knew exactly what I was when He received me, and He received me anyway. See, the Savior has never been shocked or surprised by what He found after He received someone. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. And yet, He received me. He's not surprised by my sins. He's not surprised by my failures, by my blots, by my blemishes. He's not surprised. You see, listen. I want to remind, have you ever gotten to know someone, and the more you got to know them, you became a little disappointed? I'll tell you what, let's flip that around. Let's do that the other way. Have you ever gotten to know someone, and the more you got to know them, there was a growing admiration for them? You see, I want to remind us that God knows, our Savior knows us. Our Savior knows us. And, you know, as Christians, we still have this flesh. And this flesh still sins. I mean, you understand that, right? People at church still sin. You know, sometimes I meet people and they tell me that, you know, about something that happened. And, you know, there was someone in a church they had attended once upon a time, and that person sinned. And, you know, 30 years later, they're still in shock by it, that someone who was going to church had sinned. You know, so people seem so surprised that redeemed sinners still sin. You know, when God saved you, He placed you in a church because you needed it. He, like the good Samaritan brought that Jew who was wounded and half dead to the inn. He knew that there at the church you would be loved and you would be helped and you would be strengthened and you would be cared for, and he has placed you there because you needed a place to grow, because you needed fellowship. And as one preacher said, you needed fellow sheep. And listen, none of us are where we should be. And God knows that, but that's why He has placed us in a church. He has received us knowingly. He's received us gladly. Christ receives us universally. You know, He receives us all equally. There's no levels of reception in the church. You know, He receives everyone with the same acceptance, the same joy, the same love, the same grace. The one who's ill-mannered, the one who talks too much, the one who dominates the conversation, the one who smells, the one who is always throwing a pity party, the one who, you name it, He receives them all. You know, to look around a church and to say, well, you know, I receive 80%. No, 90%. That's not like Christ. Don't feel good about that. Because Christ received them all. You and I are to receive one another as we have been instructed. Receive ye one another as Christ received us. Christ receives us graciously. He doesn't make us prove ourselves. He doesn't say, well, I know about you. I know what you've done. And I'm going to receive you, but it's going to be on a probationary basis. You know, 6 months, 5 years, whatever. You don't come to Jesus and He says, He doesn't say, don't you know what you, I know what you've done. I'm going to need some time. You know, I'm not saying I won't forgive you, but it's also not like I'm just going to pretend that everything's all right when it's not. No, He receives us graciously. We are to receive one another like Christ received us. Listen, if Christ received us with such love and grace, you and I are to receive one another the same way. Christ receives us sympathetically. In a verse I'll probably never truly understand. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, let me have you turn there, Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews, Christ is better. In this particular passage, He's a better high priest. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Notice that phrase. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. See, Christ is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. As the perfect, sinless Son of God, He sympathizes with us in our infirmity. Yes, He was tempted. Yes, He did not sin. He was pure, holy, blameless, and undefiled. But yet He sympathizes with us because of our human condition, because of our infirmity. And if the perfect, sinless Son of God can sympathize with us, can you not sympathize with the weakness of a brother? Can you not sympathize with their infirmity? Can you not sympathize with their frailty? Can you not sympathize with their inconsistency? You know, it's truly amazing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would identify with us
He calls us to identify with one another. How does Christ receive us? Christ receives us warmly. Oh, how do you describe His love? Well, different passages in Scripture have tried to describe His love to us. The more poetic believers have been trying for almost two millennia to describe that love in poem and in song. And you know, one of my favorites is the love of God. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. You see, He receives us warmly. And Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that He who was both our sacrifice and our great high priest, He is not ashamed to call us brethren. Think about that. Even when I, because of my faults and flaws and failures, am ashamed to call myself a brother, He is not ashamed to call me His brother. Do you understand this tonight? The way Christ has received us. You need to grasp this. If for no other reason, for the well-being of your own soul. Listen, if you perceive that Christ is somehow aloof and standoffish, you know, with arms crossed and brow furrowed and stern tongue, perhaps even turned away in rejection, then that's how you're going to receive a brother. But Christ received us, and we're to receive one another as Christ receives us gladly, universally, graciously, sympathetically, warmly. That's how we're to receive others. Christ receives us fully and everlastingly. Boy, I love that verse. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And as studying about love and reading, there's nothing temporary about love. You know, love endures. Charity never faileth, the Bible says. If it fails, it wasn't real love. It wasn't God's love. It was mere human love, human fondness. And Christ receives us fully and everlastingly. You and I are to receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. You know, what is the reason that we receive one another as Christ received us? The Bible says, because that brings God glory. You know, if you're saved, your life has one overarching purpose. That is the glory of God. Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. Have you ever really wrestled with that question? Does my life bring God glory? In what ways, in what areas of my life is God being glorified? And the Bible tells us that for you and I to receive one another as Christ received us, brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. Do you realize how rare this is? You know, as we talked about receiving one another, you know, on this side of eternity, to have a group of human beings to express this kind of love and acceptance to another human being. I mean, does this describe your workplace? You know, does this describe your hobby club? Oh yeah, Pastor, I'm accepted at my hobby club. Okay, well, just stop paying your membership dues and see how accepted you are. This doesn't even describe a vast majority of homes in our world today. See, the only place where this is even possible is a place where people have been transformed by the love of God, transformed because they have seen His love and experienced the love that was shown to us on the cross. See, God wants our lives to bring Him glory. God wants our church to bring Him glory. Let's read verse 7 again. Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Ready? Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You see, this our lives, this church, that it only brings God glory as we individually, as we corporately imitate the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. See, when people see a body that forgives and forbears and exhorts and you don't have to put on pretenses and fake it, and you people can be real with each other, and they don't have to walk on eggshells, and they receive one another, and then a new one comes and the body receives them, and the same acceptance is extended to them because they receive one another as Christ received them. The Bible says that God is glorified. You know, the songwriter said it well. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ, receive us, sinful man. I want to remind us that here at the Allen Baptist Church, we receive sinners who have been received by the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners who've been purchased by His blood. Sinners who And for sinners, for someone who would come and they've not been redeemed. Listen, we love you and we hope and we pray that you will come to know the love of God, the grace of God in Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind us that God is glorified. This world knows, this world will come to understand who we are as disciples. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. We're to receive one another. Let's read it one last time. Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray.